Armed American Radio's Daily Defense from the GunBroker.com studios on the Car Arms microphone. The podcast version is being brought to us by Take a Shot Firearms. Reviews you can trust, shots you don't want to miss. Visit TakeAShotFirearms.com for more information. Enjoy the show.
Defending your freedom every single day.
On the Car Arms Platinum Microphone from the GunBroker.com studios.
This is Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Here's your host, Mark Walters.
Indeed. Welcome inside Armed American Radio's Daily Defense studios, the GunBroker.com studios, on this Car Arms Platinum Microphone. It's wonderful to have you with us today. If you're tuned in on any of the dozens of stations around the country picking up the broadcast today, we love each and every one of you and each and every one of our affiliates. If you're watching on your television screen in the Northern California market and Nevada market, we appreciate it very much. Welcome inside the studios. I am Mark Walters, and I will be filling your prescription for freedom for the fastest hour in daytime radio. That much I can tell you for sure. Weekday radio at the very least, depending on, might not be daytime where you are, might be nighttime. It's the fastest hour in weekday radio. Crazy, crazy, crazy times we're going through out there. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a great program. Let me tell you why. Because when the attorneys come on the show, it's really easy for me to do my job because the conversation flows and it's fascinating topics. We've got a great attorney coming up with you here in just a couple of minutes, Mr. Derek DeBras. We'll get to him in just a moment. First, let me give you a little bit of background on Derek. Derek is with a company called the Munitions Law Group, a company that I'm very familiar with. I've used them myself. Cheshire DeBrassi also. Derek is a firearms lawyer. That is their sole focus. That's what he focuses on, is you, me, the firearms community, the firearms business, businesses, the National Shooting Sports Foundation, the industry in general, and individuals just like us. So it promises to be a fun hour. But for over a decade, Derek's been advising individuals, corporate and grassroots organizations and clients in all types of law, regulatory, trial, appellate matters throughout the United States. He's been a lover of firearms ever since he was a kid, loves the outdoors. He's licensed to practice in all Ohio, because they're based in Columbus, Ohio, state and federal courts, the U.S. Supreme Court, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit, the U.S. Army Court of Criminal Appeals, U.S. Navy Marine Corps Court of Criminal Appeals, U.S. Air Force Criminal Appeals, U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims, and the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces. And I'm just going to leave it at that because the rest of the show would be his resume. Derek, welcome to the program, brother. How you doing today, man?
Good. Okay.
Yeah, we hear you okay. Let's try that one more time. How you doing, Derek? Let me turn you up there. You sound okay?
Yeah, good. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you just fine, my friend, yes. How's it going today? These are crazy times, man. I hope you guys are doing well up in Ohio.
Yeah, we're doing okay. You know, working from home and doing this from my cell phone. So if I drop you for any reason, I apologize. But, yeah, things are going well. We're all healthy, and we're trucking right along.
So business is okay. You guys are just working from the home now and carrying on the munitions group, right?
Yeah, I mean, the gun industry has not skipped a beat. In most states, like our home state of Ohio, it's considered an essential business. And gun dealers have, I think last month, March, I had read it was the highest selling month in history. Yeah. In any event, super busy. So we're busy because if the industry's busy, we're normally busy and we have to be able to respond to our clients.
What part of your business right now? This is, first of all, let me thank you for being here and take this opportunity. I love when the attorneys are on, the pro-gun attorneys. It's great because my job is so much easier because it's really easy to have a conversation with you guys that doesn't require me to do a whole lot of background work. So thanks in advance for that,
sure.
Okay? All right. What part of, because you cover everything. You deal with me as an individual. You deal with me as a company. Your organization has done both for me personally. You deal with the trade groups themselves, you deal with National Shooting Sports, you deal with, my gosh, everybody in the field, individual companies, and individuals in self-defense. What part of your business is the busiest right now in these weird, goofy times we're in?
Yeah, actually, it's interesting. Right now, we've been getting a lot of industry clients have called us with regulatory matters. That hasn't really let up, but they've gotten busier, so it's drawing more of attention to their compliance issues. But the busiest is actually NICS denials. We're getting a ton of requests regarding people getting denied a gun, and that's not surprising given the fact that people who might not buy guns at all or don't buy them very frequently are now buying them and are discovering that, hey, these laws that maybe they voted for a politician to enact because they didn't really care a lot about guns, now that it's affecting them, they're calling me and upset when I tell them that, you know, hey, you're not going to be able to own a gun, or, you know, it's an issue that we have to resolve and it's going to cost you money. So it's interesting to talk to these people when you find out who they voted for, if they tell you that they're dealing with these laws that they supported now that are affecting them.
You know, you just took my next three questions away, because that's exactly where I was going to go, and I'm glad you mentioned that. Great minds must think alike, because we're at like three. I think the number was about 3.5 million for March, Derek, as far as background checks were concerned. Had you heard that number also?
I don't know the exact number, but I had read an article that said it was up there, and I thought I'd heard it was the highest grossing month in the industry's history, but I could be wrong on that.
No, you're right. You're absolutely correct about that. And just to take that a step further and put it in perspective, not just for you, but for listeners and viewers as well, when we're talking about record ever, we're talking higher than after Newtown, Parkland, Virginia Tech, combined. That's record territory that we're talking about here. These numbers have never been so high. And, Derek, you know as well as I do that those 4473 forms don't necessarily represent just one gun. They can represent multiple guns on a purchase, can they not?
That's correct. If it's multiple handguns, there will be multiple handgun forms submitted to the local law enforcement agency. I'd like to know those numbers. But, yeah, it's an astounding number to think about, and it's not surprising. I've picked up two new guns since it started. They were already planned purchases, mind you. I'm not a fear purchaser. I went to my client's gun store, and they had a line around the door, and they told me I needed to take a number. I said, I'll come back at another time. So I've never seen anything like that in my clients in the industry history, where you're having to make appointments to go and purchase a gun. We have one dealer that's doing drive-through. You know, that you can come and get curbside assistance to buy a gun. So it's real interesting.
And that's driving the left crazy right now, too, because of that whole shtick lie about it's easier to buy a gun than it is to buy a ham sandwich or something goofy like that. You know, let's go back, if we could, to, you know, the purchases. My next gun was going to be a Bursa 380, the Thunder. I want that gun with the threaded barrel, and I've been talking about it for a while. That and the Colt Python. I want the new Colt Python. Gosh, that thing's gorgeous.
Well, get behind me in line, Mark, because I've wanted that. I heard about it.
So you just told me you don't have the Python, but you want it, right?
Oh, absolutely. I want the 6-inch stainless. That's what I've been looking to get.
That's exactly what I was looking for myself. I think it's running around $1,200 to $1,400. I just haven't seen it yet and haven't laid eyes on it. But, Derek, I wanted to get that Bursa, and here was my deal. I thought, you know, I got a safe filled with guns. You know, I've got dozens of handguns. I've got many AR-15s. My favorite of all of my guns is my Thompson. I love my Thompson. I've got the TM1, and I just love it. And I got to thinking when I talked to a buddy of mine who owns my local shop. He's a former Georgia State representative. And I asked him how business was. He says, man, we can't keep anything in stock. I said, you know what? I'm not going to buy that gun now, you know? Let somebody else who might need it a lot more than me find it. I just felt like, yeah, you know, I hadn't ordered anything. It wasn't like I was picking them up. So I decided to sit back and wait. Had I had pre-planned purchases, I would have gone in. Like, if that Colt Python had come in, I was all over it, brother. There was nothing going to stop me from getting that. So with purchases the way they are now, I'm seeing the same thing. Lines around the shop, appointments being made, that kind of crazy stuff. I've got to ship a gun to somebody and I haven't wanted to step to bother them with that yet, both on the receiving dealer and the selling and the sending dealer, simply because they're so busy with other stuff right now. Meantime, I got somebody that really needs the gun, but it's crazy. So I'm right. Also, you've never seen anything like this. Like I've never seen anything like this, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's quite astounding. I actually have a very close friend, the best man at my wedding. For the last 2 years, he says, I really need to offload some guns. I'm like, now's the time to do it. People need the guns, and you're going to get, you know, what you at least put into the gun back. So, you know, now's the time to do that, I suppose, if you need to.
That's a great point. Listener, viewer, it's a great opportunity for me to tell you, if you're looking for something that you can't find in the shop, again, this is the gunbroker.com studios. So make sure to head over to gunbroker.com. Real quick, before we get ready to take a break, listener, I want to let you know also that I did speak with Patricia Huff from GunBroker.com. We are going to do the range bag giveaway. We've got a little logistical problem because nobody can get down to the warehouse to get the range bag. It's not as easy as it was when everybody's working from home. So somebody's going to have to make a special trip. We're working on that, the logistics of that right now. But we are going to do it. And if we have to give it away and send somebody a picture of it, until we can get you the actual range bag, we're going to do that. When we come back from this break, we're going to continue the conversation with Derek DeBras from Unitions Law Group in Columbus, Ohio. Lots of fun questions I want to ask him about a lot of different things, but I do want to go back to the background checks first when we come out of the gate in the next segment, and here's why. Because those numbers are at record levels, I have personal friends who are having a difficult time picking up their first gun, and in the state of Georgia, a free state, seeing 30-plus days on getting their handguns. And one or two of them have already got their guns, but it took them quite a while. We're talking with Derek DeBras, Munitions Law Group. We'll be back. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense in the GunBroker.com studios on the Car Arms microphone right after this. Don't go away.
America was founded through the blood of hard-fighting, hard-drinking men. Men who believed in freedom and whiskey, who laid down their lives and their fortunes forging the bedrock of this republic, and in doing so created a new species of man, the American. Leadslinger's Whiskey was founded by seven combat veterans who were tired of people afraid to support the Second Amendment. Together, they brought their love of American bourbon whiskey to freedom-loving, like-minded Americans. For more information and to read the story of Leadslinger's Whiskeys and Rum, visit LeadslingersWhiskey.com today.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012. 454-7012.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
You've helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today, and now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to you, my listeners. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Mike heard me talk about his pillows on air and joined us on Armed American Radio. I'm getting a much better night's sleep, and you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattresses, toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, right now they're bringing back the buy one, get one offer for the MyPillows. That's right. Buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free for the MyPillows. Enter promo code AAR or call 800-978-9358 for these great radio specials.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Car, the 25th anniversary K9 and the venerable P9 in various configurations. Magnum Research, the classic Desert Eagle available in 50, 44, 357, and the new 429 DE calibers. The BFR, biggest, finest revolvers, and the Magnum Light. Auto Ordnance, the classics, Thompson, that's right, the Tommy Gun, the incredible M1 carbine, and the one and only classic 1911. Car Firearms, a family of brands standing for your family's freedom.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
This upcoming segment of Armed American Radio is being sponsored by GunBroker.com, the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammo, and related accessories. That's GunBroker.com. Welcome back to the show. It is indeed, by the way, over 1.5 million auctions every single day at GunBroker.com, and it's free. Simply sign up at GunBroker.com today for free. I promise you, you'll get buried in these auctions. Don't blame me if you spend any money, though. Welcome back inside the studios with me. I am Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom, whether you're listening or watching. We appreciate you being here in the studio with us today. I'm talking with Derek DeBrosse of the Munitions Law Group in Columbus, Ohio. Derek, let's get right back at it. This is a fairly short segment. Time flies. And let me go back, if I could, to those record numbers. What is it that are you getting a particular concern over and above any other? What questions are you getting? Is there one or two maybe that you're getting the most of because people are having to wait? I know a lot of people are having to wait here as well as they are around the country. But what's your biggest question that you guys are getting as attorneys?
It always has to do with somebody's criminal record. Somebody will call and say, hey, I get denied a gun. I don't know why. Please help. And it's a variety of different issues. Protection orders from their past, misdemeanor crimes of domestic violence, certain felonies that they didn't think would affect them. So there's no one specific thing in somebody's background, but always, hey, I get denied a gun. I don't know why. Please help. That's what we've been seeing a ton of requests for.
All right. So tell us about the conditional denial. Explain how it works under normal circumstances, and then I'll lead you through this goofy COVID thing.
Okay. So when you go to purchase a firearm, since I believe it took effect in 1995 nationwide, the Brady Act that established NICS, there's got to be a background check done. That's known as NICS, National Instant Background Check System. And that usually takes 30 seconds to a minute for most people. And then you get a proceed, meaning that the dealer can transfer the firearm to you. However, certain things in somebody's background could cause one of two other options. That's a denial, which then the FBI is straight up saying, we don't think you can own a gun, or a delay, meaning that the records are incomplete, it's unclear. If it's a delay, the dealer only has to wait 3 days before they transfer the gun to you. If they don't transfer the gun to you, they'll just say, we're not going to transfer it to you. Or if you have a denial, that's when we're getting requests to say, hey, I didn't know my gun rights were taken, fix it, or why are my gun rights being denied? And that's largely what we're seeing now, is people just don't know why they're getting denied. And then we have to dig into their background and explain the law to them a little bit more.
All right. Let me go back to that delay for just a second, where it's the conditional denial that we're talking about. You mentioned, and I want, this is for the benefit of you listeners, I want you to be very, very clear on this. The dealer does not have to transfer that gun to you after that third day. That is their discretion, correct?
That's right.
All right, so if that dealer had any questions in his mind about you at the time of purchase, and I hope that every gun dealer is paying very careful attention to who they're selling firearms to, the vast majority of them are. But if there was something that stuck out that they did not like about you, and then that denial comes or that delay comes, let me put it that way, on that third day, that dealer doesn't, and that individual shows up to pick up that firearm, that dealer can say, I'm sorry, I'm not transferring the gun to you, right?
That's correct, yeah. I mean, it's like any other retailer, you know, if they don't want to transfer, as long as they're not discriminating, they don't have an obligation to transfer that to you. They actually have an obligation that if they think something nefarious is going on, to not transfer it to you. So that happens quite often, actually, where dealers just want, people smell like alcohol or marijuana, or something just doesn't feel right. They just won't transfer the gun to you.
Maybe they see somebody sitting out in the parking lot. Maybe it reeks of a straw purchase to them, or maybe some type of stench is coming off. That you know, stench meaning, metaphorically speaking, they're just not, something doesn't smell right. Now, does the dealer face any legal ramification for failing to transfer that gun if, in fact, can that person say, hey, I'm not a prohibited buyer. I don't know why there was a conditional delay. And sue the dealer? Can that happen?
Only if they can prove an argument, in my opinion, that they were discriminated against. I don't know of any law that would prohibit any retailer that sells any type of product from being sued if they refuse to sell the product to somebody. It's the same kind of analysis. The most pertinent question I got from a client dealt with immigration, and he said, hey, how do we know if somebody's here on the proper visa and that they're allowed to own guns? I said, well, it's tricky. So he came up with a policy. He's just not going to sell guns to anybody that's a U.S. citizen. I'm like, that fixes your problem, but it also limits, you know, who you're selling guns to. The larger issue is he didn't want to get sued. I said, well, he's like, there was a specific segment of our community he didn't want to sell guns to because that was where the problem originated. I said, you can't pick on a certain ethnicity, right? That's running afoul of the law. But if you do it blanket, then you have a much better argument. You're not discriminating. So it's really a 1983 discrimination or not 1983, a discrimination lawsuit is what I would perceive as being the most viable option in those circumstances.
Okay. So listen, I hope that makes sense to you. And now that, you know, that we, once we get into immigration, I've had this conversation with Alan Gottlieb on the show many times. We've talked about some of the lawsuits on behalf of legal permanent residents. A lot of people don't understand that a non-U.S. citizen who is here on a legal residency status can purchase a firearm, correct?
Yeah, the way the Gun Control Act of 1968 reads, I don't have it in front of me, forgive me, but if you're here on a non-immigrant visa, you're disabled from owning a firearm. If you're here on an immigrant visa, then you can own a firearm. And in this area, the law actually expands much more greatly than that because we have treaties with other countries. You know, if your friend's visiting from Canada, are they allowed to possess a gun? Yes, they are, but not because they're here on an immigrant visa, but because of a certain treaty with the United States. So it gets a little more complex than just what the Gun Control Act says. But generally speaking, if you don't have an immigrant visa, you cannot possess a gun.
Okay. So I hope that clears up for you, listeners, some of the questions that you might have from the legal aspect of the NICS checks or delays, denials, et cetera, and the difference between some of those. I guess my next question regarding that, to close out this segment before we move in a different direction, Derek, would be, I guess it's the time frame, because what we're talking about is the Brady transfer, which under law is 3 days, right?
I missed that. My phone cut out for a second. You say it one more time, I apologize.
That's okay. The Brady transfer that we're talking about, the Brady transfer date, that's the 3 days, right?
Yeah, so the Brady Act is what established the NICS system, and if you get a delay, then there's the 3-day waiting period.
Okay. We're seeing delays now, or reports of delays, coming as much as 30 days out. Now, the question I'm getting, and I'm wondering if you're getting that too as an attorney, are they violating the law by extending past that 3 days, or if they even attempted to bother to sue anybody? Obviously, the government would argue compelling interest. They don't have anybody there. They can't. They're just overwhelmed, and that would probably be sufficient, right?
Generally speaking, yes. You're putting me, Mark, in an uncomfortable position because I haven't researched this, and you're getting into a lot of the regulations on who has authority to determine that 3-day, because I don't know if that's written directly to the statute or if that was put into the Code of Federal Regulations, and then that authority was given to the agency that enforces it. If that's the case, they may have the discretion to expand it. I just don't know as we speak today. I'm going to say my gut tells me they do not have that authority, but I don't know for certain.
All right, good. Didn't mean to put you on the spot with that. I appreciate the answer that we got. I'm talking with Derek DeBrosse of Munitions Law Group. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversation. We've got him for two more segments. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense in the GunBroker.com studios on the Car Arms Platinum microphone. We'll continue right after this. Don't go away.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday night special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
Car, the 25th anniversary K9 and the venerable P9 in various configurations. Magnum Research, the classic Desert Eagle available in 50, 44, 357, and the new 429 DE calibers. The BFR, biggest, finest revolvers, and the Magnum Light. Auto Ordnance, the classics, Thompson, that's right, the Tommy Gun, the incredible M1 carbine, and the one and only classic 1911. Car Firearms, a family of brands standing for your family's freedom.
The North American Arms 32 NAA Guardian Pistol, designed in partnership with Convor Ammunition. The 32 NAA fires a cartridge based on the 380 case, but necked down to hold the smaller 32 bullet. The result is a remarkable gain in ballistic performance that produces more velocity, energy, and stopping power than any conventional 32 ACP, 380 ACP, or 380 ACP plus P. The 32 NAA from North American Arms. For more information, please visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
Hi, it's Mark Walters, your host of Armed American Radio. If your company sells only the highest quality products and you're looking for a way to reach these listeners, you're talking to the right guy. Armed American Radio has a package available to fit every budget, from startup to the seasoned advertiser looking for that perfect way to reach this massive audience on roughly 250 stations in the top markets in the nation. We're everywhere, and the show continues to explode across the country after 10 years. Together, we can help you reach a highly engaged and extremely knowledgeable audience. To hear your brand on this huge radio program for less than you ever thought possible, and to speak directly with me, reach out to CCW Broadcast Media LLC right away at mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org. And together, we'll bring your brand to Armed American Radio listeners and keep this powerful voice for gun rights on the airwaves. Again, to speak directly to me, reach out to me at mark@armedamericanradio.org. That's mark@armedamericanradio.org. Defender Coffee was created by patriots for patriots. It's coffee for Americans devoted to defending the Second Amendment. It's coffee for Americans who understand that if you don't fight for your freedom, you lose it. That's why Defender Coffee donates 100% of profits to gun rights organizations that fight to defend the Second Amendment. When you drink Defender Coffee, every single cup defends your right to keep and bear arms. Visit DefenderCoffee.com today and join the coffee club while you're there. DefenderCoffee.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Welcome back inside Armed American Radio's Daily Defense studios, the GunBroker.com studios, on the Car Arms Platinum microphone. I'll tell you a little bit about the rest of my sponsors at the beginning of the next segment. Welcome back with me. I'm talking with Derek DeBrosse from the Munitions Law Group up in Columbus, Ohio. Derek, welcome back in the studios with me. Didn't mean to put you on the spot. Sorry to ask you questions that I knew you didn't have. You didn't have everything in front of you, but we're going to move on to, I want to have some fun now. Fun in the sense that the conversation and the topic, I think, because things are changing all around us all day long. So let me start with this, first of all, because I love a little bit of Schadenfreude, Counselor, okay? And I make no bones about the fact that when I found out that you had a lot of people who have been fighting me and fighting the gun rights organizations and the groups and fighting the Constitution and fighting against my rights and the way I want to raise my children for all these years, all of a sudden found themselves in a situation where they thought, hey, you know what, man, I might want a gun for me because it's okay for me, not for thee. And then, as you're saying, they're finding out that, wait a minute, what do you mean it takes me 10 days to get my gun? Or what do you mean I can't buy a gun online and you can't ship it to Arizona? When you heard that, you're getting a lot of calls to that effect?
Not directly with those statements, but I, for instance, had one client call and couldn't be transferred a gun. And he says, look, I never buy guns, but I'm trying to figure out why I can't get a gun. And those are the kind of calls I'm getting. It's not very political discussions or anything like that. It's
okay.
It's these new gun owners that are finding it's not as easy as they thought it was. It's relatively right. complicated.
So you're finding that there's people out there that are thinking that they've been sold. Because to me, from the political end of it, I love it. And we have covered some of those cases. And I got to be honest with you, I don't have a lot of sympathy for the person who's been fighting me for 10 years and then all of a sudden realizes that everything that they've been told has been a lie for years. Because as we come out of this down the road, the strength of the Second Amendment, let me see if you agree with me on this one. But I believe the Second Amendment's going to come out of this far stronger than it was going in. What do you think?
I mean, I would agree. I think there's nothing that's happening with this COVID that would lead me to believe that it's going to hurt long-term, at least, the Second Amendment. Obviously, with the shutdown, that's affecting immediately people's abilities to exercise their rights. But I think long-term, it's showing our culture, our communities, the need to have firearms. Now, I will tell you, there's the anti-gunners out there that they think it's evil that people are going out and buying guns right. when our communities are hurting so much. They think it's crazy that people would be thinking about violence. But they don't understand your mindset, Mark, or my mindset. They don't understand our culture. But by and large, I think the people on the fence or the independents that were not necessarily anti-gun, I think will be pushed more toward our side than the other side. But that's just my gut and my feeling.
No, and I'm with you 100%. I think your gut and my gut are 100% spot on with that. By that, I'm talking about maybe those fence sitters or those pole sitters that, from a political standpoint, really didn't care one way or the other, but chose for whatever reason not to have a gun in the house. When all of a sudden they began to smell a little fear, and that may have pushed them over the edge to say, you know what? I don't like what I'm seeing out there. I sense that something, we've never been in a place like this before. Maybe there could be some civil unrest. I'd like to be able to protect my family. And here's what I think is very important, and I feel certain you'll agree with me on this, but with millions of new gun owners, and what I'm finding from the dealers, maybe you've got a different statistic. If you do, please let me know. But the dealers that I've spoken to, Derek, have said about 75 to 80% of everybody walking in their shop has been a new buyer. So that doesn't surprise me at all. Well, we've watched women become 50% of gun purchasers over the last half a decade, the largest and fastest mm-hmm. growing segment of gun buyers, right? So when you combine that, there's a lot of individuals out there who no doubt may have fought against the ability or the right of my right to have a gun that are now saying, hey, wait a minute, I may have been wrong. We need to welcome those people, don't we?
No, absolutely. And I don't doubt the veracity of those numbers. I've heard those numbers. And I don't doubt the veracity because people like you and I are making decisions like, look, I got 100-plus guns in my gun safe. I don't need right. another gun, and I don't want to sure as hell go out in the public and get sick to try and get another gun and also pay these markup prices. So most of the people that are buying these guns right now, I would say most, probably actually feel like they need them, meaning they don't have right. them, which means they're probably new gun owners.
Well, I would risk all that what you said if the Colt Python came in. I'm just going to tell you that.
I would agree with you. I'd be
that
I'd be
gun
right,
is...
right in front of you probably.
It is
I
so
would
beautiful.
I'll buy all of them and then sell you one for double the price.
I'm telling you what. Hey, listen, man, and I don't blame you at all, and I'd pay it. Here's the deal. Very quickly about that Python. You know, you can go out and pick up an older model at Gunbroker, for example.
Yeah.
They're all over for $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000. Hell, the empty boxes go for hundreds of dollars, okay?
Yeah.
So to
yeah.
come out with the new one, which I think is going to be that $3,000 to $4,000 or $5,000 gun in just a couple years. Wow, to get your hands on that for $1,200 or $1,400, if I got to sell an AR, a custom build, I'm going to do it if I have to because I want that thing. All right, so let's talk about going forward. Now, I think we agree the Second Amendment certainly isn't going to hurt. This is not going to hurt it. I think gun control agenda is taking a huge whack right now, which is why, believe it or not, listeners and viewers, I understand that Moms Demand Action in every town has been kind of ratcheted back by Twitter on a couple of posts because they're so angry. I guess there's a lot of language that they don't like on some of their videos, which is really fascinating to me because they've been relegated to that as people go out and really just skip over their agenda and decide to buy guns to protect and defend themselves. I think they realize they're being lied to. But there's a let me ask it. Do you think there's a new normal relative to maybe self-defense and self-defense law and constitutional law? Because I think the Supreme Court's going to be working overtime when this stuff is over. So many apparent attacks on our liberties in states like Michigan, even here in Georgia. Now, you may or may not know this. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but my wife is the plaintiff in the Walters v. Kemp case that the Second Amendment Foundation and Firearms Policy Coalition filed here in the state of Georgia because she's been denied her right to get her concealed carry permit during the state of emergency. So we got all these crazy things going on around us, and it raises so many questions. So let's start with, do you think there's going to be a change in self-defense law or firearms policy or anything when we come out of this mess?
I don't think so in self-defense law. I don't think this affects self-defense law at all. Self-defense law, I mean, has weathered pandemics before. I mean, self-defense law comes back from common law in England and has been developed over the years. So I just don't – and also it's a state-by-state issue. It's not a federal issue by and large. So each state would have to act, but at least in my home state of Ohio – there's been no discussion of that, and I'm intimately familiar with those discussions. And I don't see what would actually trigger that type of a discussion when it comes to just, you know, pure self-defense law being changed. So as far as that's concerned, I don't see a change. And I forgot the other items that you had brought up that you think might change. You have to restate this for me.
No, we'll go back. We'll go back to those. Let me go back to that self-defense for a second. I found myself, Derek, in a Facebook live stream earlier today, with that we do from the Video Network studios every day with Rob Pincus for about 20 to 30 minutes. And this question came up kind of out of nowhere. And so let me phrase it this way. Maybe self-defense law, it might not be the way to look at it. But here we're looking at social distancing stuff, right? 6 feet.
Okay.
And if you get out there now, you see people staying 6 feet away from each other.
Okay.
Excuse me. And that may very well, you know, there's a lot of people who I think are going to go on with their lives trying to keep this distance from each other. And maybe that changes the way somebody, maybe now personal space is defined as within that 6 feet. You know, and I'm wondering, in some weird way, I'm asking this question, do you think that might change something about someone who may brandish a firearm because somebody got within that 6 feet based on the fear of what we're going through now, maybe 2 years from now? You know what I mean?
So it's not a change in the law you're discussing. It's a change in the fact or the culture and how the law is applied to the fact or the culture. So, yeah, it changes our circumstances, but culture always changes over time. So, yeah, you know, if the new norm is 6 feet and I'm up 2 feet in your face, you might have a heightened level of fear that I'm going to take your life because of the simple fact that I'm within 6 feet of you. And that could be honest and most importantly, given the COVID 19 pandemic, it could be reasonable, which is one of the required things under the law, that you act in a reasonable manner, that that you perceive and that you defend yourself using reasonable means, et cetera, et cetera. So,
wow, that's fascinating.
The facts may change.
That's unbelievable. We've got one more segment with Derek DeBras. I hope you're enjoying the conversation as much as I am. We'll talk about liberties and freedoms and things like that. A lot of, well, I guess, protests up where he is in Ohio, and Georgia's getting ready to open up. We'll be back. Don't go away.
Car, the 25th anniversary K9 and the venerable P9 in various configurations. Magnum Research, the classic Desert Eagle available in 50, 44, 357, and the new 429 DE calibers. The BFR, biggest, finest revolvers, and the Magnum Light. Auto Ordnance, the classics, Thompson, that's right, the Tommy Gun, the incredible M1 Carbine, and the one and only classic 1911. Car Firearms, a family of brands standing for your family's freedom.
The North American Arms 32 NAA Guardian Pistol, designed in partnership with Convor Ammunition. The 32 NAA fires a cartridge based on the 380 case, but necked down to hold the smaller 32 bullet. The result is a remarkable gain in ballistic performance that produces more velocity, energy, and stopping power than any conventional 32 ACP, 380 ACP, or 380 ACP plus P. The 32 NAA from North American Arms. For more information, please visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
Our Second Amendment rights are under attack like never before, and we need you to take action now. The 2020 Democrat candidates have declared war on your right to keep and bear arms. Joe Biden supports gun prohibition and confiscation of your guns. Anti-gun billionaire Michael Bloomberg has vowed to spend millions to support Biden, and his number one policy issue is to take away your Second Amendment rights. It is urgent that every American show your support for our right to keep and bear arms. Please call 800-497-4775 to sign our petition in support of President Trump and your Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to defend our right to keep and bear arms, and it starts with your phone call to 800-497-4775. President Trump has protected our Second Amendment rights, and we need to show we support his presidency. 800-497-4775. Paid for by American Political Action Committee PAC, which is responsible for the content of this message.
America was founded through the blood of hard-fighting, hard-drinking men. Men who believed in freedom and whiskey, who laid down their lives and their fortunes, forging the bedrock of this republic, and in doing so created a new species of man, the American. Lead Slinger's Whiskey was founded by seven combat veterans who were tired of people afraid to support the Second Amendment. Together, they brought their love of American bourbon whiskey to freedom-loving, like-minded Americans. For more information and to read the story of Lead Slinger's Whiskeys and Rum, visit LeadSlingersWhiskey.com today.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Defender Coffee. When you drink Defender Coffee, you're making a donation to a gun rights organization of your choice that protects and defends your freedoms. Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back indeed. If you're watching on the television, you see the cup, the Student of the Gun cup. That's Paul Markle, Student of the Gun, and it is filled with Defender Coffee, by the way. Let me take a quick moment to give you a list of the sponsors that are bringing this show and making it possible to bring it to you every single day, both on your television screens and across national radio on our great affiliates around the nation. Lead Slinger's Whiskey, Second Amendment Foundation. We'll go back to Alan in just a moment. Crossbreed Holsters, MyPillow. Record past 2 weeks with MyPillow. Amazing stuff. Please use the promo code AAR. You can defend the Second Amendment when you sleep. Most people didn't realize that was possible. Mike Lindell has dedicated himself to supporting me, this program, and you. And he does it by putting his money where his mouth is and extending those discounts to us under tremendous pressure not to do business with people like us. So we support people like him. You see how that equation works? Car Arms. This is the Car Arms Platinum Microphone. Justin Moon, fast becoming a fan favorite. We moved him over and he graduated on Sunday to the round table for the full hour. He joined the veterans. Justin's there with us now. He, of course, is the CEO of Car Arms. GunBroker.com. Wow, how much, when I tell you it's free, gunbroker.com, just sign up for nothing and watch the 1.5 million auctions a day. Everything you want is at gunbroker.com, I promise you that. North American Arms, Sadie Sweat will be joining me hopefully in the next few days. We're going to reach out to her later today, actually, and see if we can't bring her to the MonsterCast on Sunday. And, of course, Defender Coffee, Bursa Firearms. You heard me talking about the Bursa Thunder 380. I'll get it. When I do, you'll be the first to know. And, of course, Emerson Knives, Ernie Emerson. Speaking of Ernie Emerson, Emerson put me in touch with somebody who is, this is unbelievable, I'm proud to be able to tell you this, but Navy SEAL Team 6 member Will Chesney. Will Chesney has a book out, No Ordinary Dog. My partner from the SEAL teams to the Bin Laden raid. Will Chesney was at Abbottabad with his dog, the only dog on the team, Cairo. Will Chesney's book was released yesterday, but this whole COVID thing's got it all in a mess. Will Chesney is going to be on the program with me possibly Friday, definitely on Sunday's MonsterCast, and that promises to be an outrageous interview with a true American hero talking about he and his dog Cairo at that compound in Abbottabad. Unbelievable stuff coming up. Plus, we've got some NASCAR coming up. Lots of cool stuff for you on Armed American Radio's MonsterCast and the Daily Defense. Let's get back over to Derek DeBras from Munitions Law Group. Derek, I found it fascinating, that question about, you know, just the fact that it popped up, that some of these quote-unquote new normals, you know, this distance and stuff like that. Now, you said that that's going to change circumstance. So it's not going to change law. Self-defense law is still self-defense law, but it could change what someone perceives to be a threat, right, because of this?
Yeah, I think it's going to change the analysis. It could change the analysis that judges, juries, and practitioners have to undergo. Yeah, they have to take into consideration now, why is this person afraid? Mm-hmm. Does this person truly, honestly, and reasonably believe their life is in danger given this new set of circumstances, or as you put it, Mark, this new norm?
Yeah, that new norm, I hate that. I hate that. I hope that that is not. I hope that's just temporary. I do believe, listener, viewer, that America will get back to normal. America will do what America always does, and America will save the world again. Now, let's go into something, you know, outside of the individual. Do you think that there will be any new legislation that comes out of this? For example, as I mentioned, my wife is on the suing Kemp. Why? Because the probate court here in the state of Georgia is no longer issuing Georgia weapons licenses. However, they are issuing marriage licenses. Should you want to get married, they're open for business for that, but they won't for your constitutional right to bear arms. So she is sued. That's working its way through the process now. I expect to have information on that in the next few days. But, Derek, constitutional carry eliminates the need for the lawsuit and any hassle whatsoever. 16 states already have it. Could we see federal legislation, do you think, that might fix this problem down the road after, again, we come out of this goofy period we're in?
I don't think you would, maybe, at the federal level. Politics are different at the federal level. I think it's easier to achieve at the state level. I know Ohio's been trying to pass constitutional carry for right. as long as I can remember. This might be enough in this type of state where, at the state level, we're extremely red, where it might be enough to kind of push it over that line, that limit, to get that vote passed. But federally, I don't know that Congress would pass what I would call a pro-gun bill, just simply given the dynamics of the House of Representatives right now. I just don't see it happening. And Trump has not for nothing, he has not really signed any huge pro-gun bills into law. National Concealed Carry Reciprocity hasn't been passed. You know, things like that have not been done. So I don't know if this would be enough at the federal level to push a new law over the edge. But again, I'm just speaking as an attorney.
It should be, though. Yeah, but you are a real attorney. You don't have to play one on TV, bro. You really are. Okay. So that your opinions matter in that respect.
The politics of it is really what's going to make that decision. Not so much the law. So it's really tough for me to say at the federal level because I'm not intimately involved with federal legislation. It could. I think you'll see it more at the state level, though, Mark.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think there's going to be some changes. Now, our liberties. Ohio is under pressure. Now, I know Ohio well. I have family. My wife is from Dayton. Both of my parents are from Dayton. Their parents are from Dayton. Mm-hmm. I have 80 first cousins. My mother has 16 brothers and sisters. She's one of 16. They're all in Dayton. I mean, I have a huge family in Dayton for many, 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 many years. That's where I went for every Thanksgiving and Christmas when I was a kid. When I went to see grandma, I was in Ohio. So I know the state well, and I've watched Ohio's battles over the years, you know, to the point where, you know, when my wife would drive home to see her family, Derek, she had to get out and put her gun away in Kentucky because Ohio didn't recognize Georgia because Georgia didn't require training. But Ohio has always been, and most residents don't know this, but it's always been a gold open carry state. You don't need a permit to openly carry a gun in Ohio, do you?
No, it's constitutional right protected in Ohio. It's not enshrined in words, but it came from a case in 1999, Klein versus Lease, and the court there was an attack on the on concealed carry restrictions. At the time, concealed carry was illegal. There was no licensing scheme. Someone got popped for it, and then he attacked it. So this is unconstitutional. It's an infringement on my state as well as federal Second Amendment rights. And they said, no, it's not, because it's a privilege. It's not a right to carry a weapon concealed, the mode of carry. But then the inverse is that, to that is, well, then how do I exercise that right? And the court basically said, look, you got to openly carry the gun. That's the only other option here. So that's kind of where all that came from. And yeah, so to answer your question more directly, it's absolutely allowable. There is no license needed. We're a very true open carry state. We're more classically liberal in that regard than even Texas has been. We don't need a concealed carry license to carry a handgun concealed or a rifle concealed. You can strap an AR-15 on your back or an SKS and walk down High Street fully loaded.
And, you know, interesting, I mentioned that for a reason, because in a state like Georgia, for example, where you would think that that would be the norm, you mentioned Texas, another great example. In the state of Georgia, you have to have a weapons license to carry openly. And because you have to have that weapons license to carry a handgun, you can carry a rifle openly. Watch for that to be part of the decision from a judge that we get on our case. I'm just going to bet you that's a wink and a nod, okay, viewer? All right. I'm telling you, I just have a gut feeling that's what we'll be talking about. That's the first step. But we have to. So you do not have, in the state of Georgia, a right to carry a firearm without a permission slip. So I believe that this is going to be the change that we see here in the state that you're referring to, and I'm hopeful that it leads to that. Now, do you believe, as I believe, that the Supreme Court's going to be really busy with cases coming out of this goofiness? What do you think?
Well, the justices are going to decide what cases they take, because if they don't want to be busy, they won't be busy.
That's a great point.
Yeah, I do think, though, there will be, and there already has been, a slew of lawsuits. I was loosely involved with some consultations on the lawsuit that was recently filed against the governor of Ohio. I'm not involved with it, though, but I had some business clients consult with me about filing that type of a lawsuit. So you're seeing these lawsuits come, so you're probably going to see a lot of what we call certiorari requests, or where you have to ask permission for the Supreme Court to hear your case.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they're all going to be granted. So I think
you're right.
At the Supreme Court.
All right, Derek, I want to thank you for being here, man. We pushed it right up against the clock. Derek DeBrasi, Munitions Law Group. Love it. Thanks, Derek. I'm looking forward to having you back on. Armed American Radio is going to get up and do it again tomorrow from these GunBroker.com studios, because we can and because they don't want us to. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'll see you on the radio and on your television screens.